Thank you, Brother Jake and Julie, for reminding us why we gather here today around this table. It's because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for the redemption of many, that we could have life eternal. And may I just say, thank the Lord for the blood. May I just say a personal note today, I'm humbled for our staff recognizing me today. I'm planning on recognizing them. Brother Justin's on vacation, so I wanted to do it when they were all here. So not next Sunday, but the 22nd, I'm going to be recognizing all of our other staff because it is my joy to work with them. I'm trying to stay up with these young guys. They're just so quick, you know. And I'm just trying to kind of keep up with them the best I can. But I want to thank the church. Thank you for your support for us and encouragement through these years. And it's been a joy to serve you. I want you to know that. It has been my joy. And it is continuing to be my joy. And as long as my health is good, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord. And I believe that He has a plan. And He's working in our church. And we're seeing some great things take place. And I'm indeed humbled today by this recognition, and thank the Lord that He's good. He is good to us. Well, if you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter, let me give you a little background. 1 Peter was written to they call it the strangers or the aliens. These are the scattered Jews in five different Roman provinces. They identify them there as Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And they're recognized there in 1 Peter 1:1. Now, he's writing to these people who are going through suffering. They're going through great trials. These are people who have been driven from their homes. There's people that have suffered for the cause of Christ, for their faith, and they have been scattered. And now as they've been scattered, Peter writes and encourages them in the Lord to keep on going on and to keep serving, keep doing what God's called you to do. And by the way, let me tell you what. I believe in 1 Peter, it's one of the greatest treatises on suffering that you'll ever find over and over again. He says there in 1 Peter 4:12, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that comes your way. He tells in chapter 1, he says that our trials are going to be like the gold that is tried in the fire. It'll be good for us because we'll be revealed to us in glory. Throughout 1 Peter, we're challenged, and they're challenged to walk with God and be what God wants them to be. In fact, if you see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's three things that he tells us that are going to keep us going on, folks. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." He says, what keeps us going? We have a living hope, folks. And the word hope there is not our English word for hope. It's the word that means a confident expectation. The only hope for America today is Jesus Christ. The only hope that we have to give as a church is Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, because He died, but He didn't just die, He rose from the grave proving that He was God. Because of that, we have a living hope in Him. And then later on, we find in chapter 1, he says we have the living word. Look at it, if you would, in verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of God endureth forever," church. "And this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you." He says, we have the living word. And by the way, I want you to know, this Bible that I hold in my hand is still the best-selling book in all the world. This is the best-selling book. and has been sold millions upon trillions of copies of this Bible. There's people that treasure this word in other countries more than we treasure it. I want you to know that they're thankful that they have the word. Back in the New Testament time, they were thankful for the word. The Old Testament time, they were thankful for the word. And by the way, this is the living word. We believe it is the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is without error. And from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, it is God's love letter to us. And we have the living word that has stood the test of time and continues to stand the test of time. And I believe the Bible says that not one jot or tittle will be taken away from this word. And it has not. And I'm thankful we have the living word. Amen. But not only do we have the living hope and the living word, we have the living stone. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable by Jesus Christ. Which was the stone that was rejected? Jesus. He is the living stone. He is the cornerstone, by the way. Without him, we do not have a foundation. Without him, the building is not held together. Everything we are, everything will ever be, is because of Jesus Christ. And he is living. He is alive, folks. He's not dead in a grave. He's alive, and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. We sing a song. We used to sing a song a long time ago. I gave my life to thee. Remember that song? It's in the hymnal. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? And that's the question today as we look at this table. But I want you to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, verse 18. Let's look at it together. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in these last times for you. By the way, Jesus was not plan B, he was plan A, folks. God knew that the world would fall. God knew that man would sin. And he was foreordained. Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And then look at verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. That what? That your faith and hope might be in God, folks. That's what it is. You know, the wonder of redemption. Think about it a minute. The Puritan Thomas Watson rightly said, observed redemption was God's greatest work. Great was the work of creation, but greater is the work of redemption. It costs more to redeem us than to make us, by the way. In one, he just spoke the word. In the other, he shed his very blood for us. That word redemption is a term that tells us of the essential features of salvation. By the way, specifically the cost of salvation. This means by which God received payment. By the way, there had to be a payment made for our sins, folks. There had to be a ransom paid because we were in the slave market of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were doomed by Satan, and we walked according to the lust of our own flesh. But I love Ephesians 2:4. It says, but God, who was rich in his love for us, therewith live, he died. Jesus died for us. Let me tell you, redemption's a beautiful word. All of us, before we came to Christ, we were helpless sinners. Isaiah puts it this way, 700 years before the birth of Christ, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. May we never forget, folks, when Jesus hung from the cross, your sin and my sin was placed on Jesus at the cross. And that's the reason Jesus says from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine that? Redemption. That word redeemed, the word latreo, In the Greek language, means to ransom or deliver by paying a price. To the Greeks, it was used by paying money to buy a prisoner of war, by the way. But in Exodus chapter 12, we understand that it's used specifically of the fact that they understood the Passover. Exodus 12 talks about that Passover, how the Passover, the lamb's life, was the price required to spare the life of the Israelites' firstborn. What were they to do? They were to take a lamb that was without spot and blemish, and they were to take this lamb, and they were to put the blood, kill the lamb, and put it on the lintels of the door and over the doorpost. And when the death angel passed by, they were covered in the blood. I've got good news this morning, folks. You and I are covered in the blood. We deserve death, but we don't have to have death because we can have life through Jesus Christ. That's what we can have. Thank God for that. And he bought us from the slave market of sin into life eternal. Why? What did God redeem believers from? Notice, we were once in bondage to sin and wrath, by the way. Can you imagine that? One time we walked according to the course of this world. The Bible says in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so we are no longer slaves to sin. By the way, let me repeat that. We're no longer to be a slave to sin. We've been delivered from sin. Thank God, the Bible says, therefore, in Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation to them who walk in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful for that today. I don't have to live under condemnation. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Notice here he says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Look what he says. You weren't redeemed from the former lust. You were in ignorance, the absence of spiritual understanding. Thank God, according to verse 14, by the way. Look back to verse 14. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That's how we used to walk. We were unaware of the fact that we need a Savior. But we heard the gospel, and in hearing the gospel, we respond to it. We don't walk according to our vain conversation. That means useless or worthless manner, futile way of life. By the way, without Christ, you have a futile way of life. With him, there's meaning and peace and joy. And he says, we don't walk according to the received by the tradition from your fathers. By the way, religion will not save you. I want to make that very clear. Religion will not save you. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the only way to salvation. He paid the price so that we could be redeemed. What did he redeem believers from? From their past sins, from their past way of life, from past bondage. We have been delivered from that. What did he redeem us with? Notice he says here, not with perishable things, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible or perishable things, such as And the idea there is earthly commodities like silver and gold. Aren't you glad you can't buy your salvation? Some of us couldn't afford it. It cost Jesus his very life. But I want to tell you what. It was the precious blood of Jesus. It wasn't by some earthly commodity. By the way, where does that come from? Well, you know, I was doing some studying, and I'd never seen this before, but I was studying this week. And back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, remember, there was a time that they numbered the people, that God called them on the carpet for that. Remember, he told them not to number the people, but there was a time when he told them to number the people in Exodus chapter 30. And he says, you number the people, and everyone over 20 years of age was to come to the temple, and they were to pay a price, okay? And the price they paid was a half of a shekel, okay? And that's what they would pay, about 44 cents, according to, I'll tell you what, you read that, I was studying that this week, everybody has an idea what a shekel is. And you'd see all sorts of things. One person said that half a shekel equaled 160 grains of barley. But they would come, and it was a part of the purification ceremony. So they would pay that price. So I think that Peter is referring back to that of the Old Testament. But he says, hey, you don't have to come with a shekel. You can come because of what Jesus did at Calvary. You can come because of the blood of Jesus. He said, we're redeemed. Look at verse 19. But is a contrast. Not with the tradition of our fathers, not from our vain way of life, not with silver and gold, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot. Boy, I tell you what, I love the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's because of the blood, not just any blood. It was the blood of Jesus. His blood was precious blood. Thank God. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was powerful blood. The blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago, folks, has the power to redeem people from their sins today and has the power to give life today. Thank God for the blood. It was pure blood. Why? Because there had to be a perfect sacrifice that was made for us. And the perfect sacrifice had to be the one that was without sin. You remember whenever they brought the sacrifice to the temple, it could be a lamb or it could be a goat. But if it was a lamb, it had to be without spot and without blemish. It was the owner of the flock's best lamb. They didn't bring their worst lamb and say, I think I'll bring that to the Lord. I'll just bring one of my blind lambs or one that hurt his foot. No, they had to bring their very best. And I want you to know, Jesus gave his very best at Calvary. But listen to me, they did not take his life. He laid his life down freely. I was reading in Matthew this week, again, of the account of the what Jesus went through when he went to the cross. And he said to one of those rulers, he said, I could call right now a legion of angels and deliver me right now if I wanted to. He could have called angels to deliver him, but he died alone for you and for me. Wow. That's the reason that we can read in the Bible that the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. What did he redeem? For what did he redeem believers? Look at what he says here. I want you to go to verse 21. Who by him do believe in God and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Why did he redeem us? That your faith, catch this, your faith and hope might be in God. I want to ask you a question. Who's your faith in today? If it's in anyone else from God, but God, you're in trouble. Your faith might be in God and our hope. And by the way, again, that's that future. Our future is in God's hands because of what Jesus did for us. Years ago, and I close with this illustration before our deacons come, Years ago, before World War II, missionaries were carrying the gospel to the Ethiopian Satan-worshipping Wallamo tribe. And the decision of Tigne, which was one of the people of the tribe, because of that decision of him, he was a slave and it displeased his master. And his master forbade him from going, he forbade them from going to the church, a Bible study. He forbade him from going to worship. And he beat him because he was a Christian. But you know what? Before those missionaries left, a missionary named Ray Davis, with the help of other missionaries, paid the price to free this slave in Ethiopian. And he freed him. Tigne was freed. And then they left. And 20 years afterwards, they heard that Ray Davis was coming back. And Tigne went. The one who ransomed him was coming back. He went to the mission station. He waited for days for him to come. And all of a sudden, he arrived in a car. And he ran beside that car. And he kissed his hand. And as he got out, he fell at his feet. And he kissed his feet. He said, "This is the one who has ransomed me. This is the one who delivered me from slavery." You say, "Well, that's a little bit unusual." But let me tell you something. There's going to be a day that every believer is going to be at the feet of Jesus. And every one of us are going to say, "This is the one who gave himself a ransom for us that we could have forgiveness and have life eternal." Thank the Lord for that this day. Let's bow. As our deacons come and remove the cloth, the Bible says we're to examine ourselves. We're not to drink of this cup, take of this bread unworthily. By the way, none of us are worthy, but thank God what he did for us at Calvary makes us worthy. But let's have a moment of meditation as we just prepare our hearts. Again, if you're a believer, would you partake with us today? piece of bread that you hold in your hand is symbolic. Some people believe this is the actual, teach this actual body of Jesus. We do not believe that. We believe it's symbolic of the blood of the body of Jesus. If you go back, I read Matthew's account this last week in detail. I encourage you to do that this week. It reminds us of what Jesus went through. By the way, he went through great grief and pain for us. I was reading how they spat upon him. They blindfolded him and beat him with rods and told him to prophesy. Remember, he was a prophet. He was a king, and they said, "You're to be the king of the Jews. Why don't you come down from there? You have the power to do that." They put those nails in his hands and in his feet. They put that crown of thorns on his head. They took him to the scourging post, where many a man would not come off the scourging post. They put their arms over their head. One Roman soldier on this side, one Roman soldier on this side. They took whips made of sharpened pieces of bone and lead, and they would literally whip him 39 times. Pilate ordered that. And literally, many a man would come off the scourging post disemboweled. It was a terrible, terrible death that our Savior. But they did not take his life. He laid it down freely for us. On that night that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper in that upper room with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. Brother Ricky, would you bless the bread today?
Father, as we come at this time and take this bread and remember your body that was beaten and broken for us, Father, a price that was paid on our behalf that should have been us. Father, we're thankful that you saw fit to redeem us through Jesus Christ in the giving of his body at the cross of Calvary for us. That's not something that we take lightly. Father, as we take this, Father, may we remember what was paid for us. Amen.
On that night, he took the bread and he passed it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." cup you hold in your hand, the juice in that cup represents the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9 that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, without the blood, there's no forgiveness, folks. That's what redeemed us. The pure, the powerful blood of Jesus. Can you imagine what he went through? His blood was shed. And I don't even think any movie, I don't think anyone could depict what our Savior went through. In fact, it says in Isaiah, his visions was, his vintage was marred more than anyone else. I mean, you couldn't even recognize him after they beat him. Can you imagine that? What he went through for us? But because of the blood, we have forgiveness today. You can have forgiveness. If you're here without Christ, I want you to know that today you can be forgiven of every sin that you've committed up to today because of the blood of the Lamb. On that night, he took the cup and he blessed it. Brother Ralph, would you bless the cup?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, as we've become for this table this morning, Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each one of us truly remembers what Jesus did for us, Lord, whose body was torn, who was just mangled all up, dear Heavenly Father. We can't even imagine what Jesus went through for us, Lord. He went to the cross for us that we might have eternal life. Through his precious blood, washed away our sins, Father. And Lord, I pray that none of us ever forgets that. We should not take it lightly, Lord. For without the shed of Jesus' blood, we could not have forgiveness for our sins. We just pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
On that night, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, drink, this is the cup of the new covenant. This do in remembrance of me. You join us now as it says they sang a hymn, and we're going to sing and then we're going to offer an invitation.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Table, he reaches out his arms and he says to us, church, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we too must reach out our arms and say to him, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And I like that song, whenever I survey the wondrous cross, the last verse says, demands my soul, my life, my all. As a result of us taking the Lord's Supper, and by the way, the reason we do it about every 2 months, we don't do it every week or it become just commonplace, but we surround our service around it. But we do it every 2 months, but the reason we come to this table is to remind us that we're to be faithful to God. It's to remind us that we have a Savior in Jesus. It's to remind us, because of the blood, there's access to the very throne room of God. Thank God for that today. And I hope you'll rejoice this day. For some today, though, you've never given your life to Christ. You've heard about him, and you have a head knowledge, but not a heart experience. Today, we want to invite you to do something that's going to take courage. But if you feel that tug in your life, that's the Holy Spirit. We invite you to come take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. That's all you got to say. And we'll sit down here at the front and we'll explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We invite you to come this morning. Maybe you've already met the Lord and you haven't been baptized. That's the first act of obedience. We invite you to come and make that right today. Or maybe today you're looking for a church home and you've been visiting here and believe this is where God wants you to be a part. We invite you to come and join with us. Be a part of our fellowship as he died for the local church. That's what he wants us to love, the local church. And maybe God's calling you to that. Whatever he's calling you to. Maybe he's calling you to a new commitment, to a new level of commitment in your walk with Christ. Whatever it is, wherever he leads, we'll go. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have an invitation. Father, I want to thank you today for your word. I thank you that